Well, William, okay, here it is. We have chapter 5 of Stranded on Earth. And this chapter is Igglypuff Finds a Family. Well, when we last left you, Igglypuff had crashed onto Clem Jr.'s bed, or Little Clem. And his dad, Dr. Goodlight, had gone off to Washington Gumption University to figure out what to do with his space cruiser, which, conveniently, was taken up by Solomon Cuttlefish to stash in his garage. And then Clem Goodlight came home, and he crashed onto bed. And the kids were out on the playground. His Ming Li and Ling Mi and little Clem was out, and there was nobody in the house except for Shui Huang, and she was working on the computer. So Igglypuff was asleep, fast asleep, in little Clem's bed. And little Clem's bed was a little bed. It was only 5 feet long. And as you remember, Igglypuff was, 7 feet long. So he lay on his back, and he had his legs bent at his knees, and they were sitting on the floor, and he was snoring. Well, the house was quiet. Dr. Goodlight was snoring away. And who woke up? Well, it was little Bentley Goodlight, their little baby. They called Buster. Buster woke up. He heard his father snoring. He heard his mother tapping on the computer. Oh, she was tapping. And then he heard this strange, strange sound he'd never heard before. He said, I have to figure this out. So he climbed out of his bed, out of his crib. He still was in a crib because he was only 15 months and his parents didn't want him to climb out, but he knew how. So he climbed out and then he toddled into little Clem's room. But little Clem wasn't there. It was this big, long creature with his legs sticking over the bed on the floor. Well, Buster was very intrigued. Who is this creature? I didn't remember seeing him come in the house, but how did he get here? And what is he doing? So he toddled over to the bed, and he toddled up, and he looked at his knees, and he looked at his long body, and then he looked at his head. Well, he was lying there, and his mouth nose was moving slowly. And his tentacle hair was just lying still. And Buster had never seen anything like that. So he toddled up to his face, and he tried to touch his mouth nose. Ooh, it was smooth. It was very soft, and it was moving slightly as he snored. Woo, 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 woo. Now, Igglypuff, old Igglypuff, Igglyoptera nuberoperon, was the crown prince of Janakapalala, and nobody ever touched nose mouths in Janakapalala. Well, I guess if you were like a mom and a dad, and you really loved each other, then you could rub nose mouths together, just like Eskimos on Earth would rub their noses together. But you never saw anybody doing that in public. No, 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 no. That was done in private. And nobody touched your mouth nose unless it was your nurse and you had a cold and she had to make you blow it. But other than that, and so when he felt somebody touching his nose mouth, he was jerked away. He looked around, didn't see anybody, looked around, and then again, a little thing touched his nose mouth. Woo, woo, woo. He looked over, and he was looking right into the eyes of Buster, little Bentley Goodlight. And Buster laughed and laughed. Ah, ha, 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 goo, 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 goo. And he started babbling to him in baby talk. Well, what did Igglypuff think? Igglypuff thought, oh, he's talking to me in some language I don't know. So he fumbled with his communicabobulator, and he turned it on to see if he could learn the talk. And the baby went, goo, 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 ga, 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 goo, because that's what babies do. They're trying to talk. They're talking their own language. And the communicabobulator was sitting there saying, I have no idea what he's saying. But Igglypuff said, well, I'll just say hello. And his communicabobulator said, hello, little space alien. How are you? Well, that was quite amazing. So he sat up, and the little space alien put his arms up, and Igglypuff picked up Buster, and he put him on his lap, and then he decided, well, what do you do with a little space alien like this? I don't know. It's a little Earth creature. What do I do? But Buster was having none of it. He started playing with his buttons. He started pulling his communicabobulator and trying to play with it. He started reaching up for his hair tentacles. He was having a good time. And then Shui Huang showed up at the door. Buster, what are you doing? That's our guest. What are you doing? And Igglypop just looked up at Mrs. Goodlight, and he went, woo, 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 woo. It's okay. Your little space creature is just seems to be playing with me. Well, this is amazing because Igglypop had grown up, and he wasn't used to little Earth baby sitting on his knee and playing with his communicobobulator and trying to reach his hair. But he felt, well, I have to be polite, so he's trying to take care of the big space alien creature because she seemed to be very upset. But then she said, oh, well, come on out now. It's getting close to dinner. I've got to wake up Clem, and I think the kids will be home pretty soon. So she went out, and she woke up Clem Goodlight and said, Clem, you got to get up. We're going to have dinner. I've got mashed potatoes, and I've got some chicken, and I'm cooking some broccoli, and we're going to have a glass of wine together, and then we'll put the kids to bed, and we have a little evening. So Clem went, yawned. He was still tired, because he had a lot of driving to do, and he just really, you know, was kind of loopy. But he got up anyway. And then, wouldn't you know it, in come the kids. Ming Li and Ling Mi and little Clem all came clamoring in on their bicycles. They dropped him by the front door, came running in, and said, where's the space creature? Where's the space creature? We've been telling everybody we have a space creature in the house. At which point, Dr. Goodlight's eyebrows went up. Well, you'd think, if I were drawing a cartoon of him, his eyebrows would be up over his head. Whoa! And he said, you kids, this is our guest. And he's here from someplace else. And don't you be telling your friends about him. You just tell them tomorrow that you were joking. Well, that's not actually the truth. That's sort of like a fib. But in this case, it was an important fib because Dr. Goodlight couldn't have anybody knowing there was a space alien in his house. My, oh my, sometimes it just life gets complicated. So the kids all looked down and said, okay, daddy. And Igglypop looked at him, and he didn't know what was going on, because, after all, he was the crown prince of Janaka Palala. Nobody ever spoke to him sternly. Everybody always said, yes, young master, what do you want? No, here was this man who'd saved him, looking at his kids and shaking his finger and getting stern with them. Oh, well, this is something new. But they shook it out, they figured it out, and each of the kids came up to Igglypop and shook his hand. Of course, shaking his hand was like holding a ping pong paddle and trying to move it, but they did. And then they said, we're pleased to meet you, Mr. Igglypop. They called him Mr. Igglypop because that's what his dad called him. Their dad called him. And then they all sat down at the table. After they washed their hands, they all sat down at the table, and little Buster was put in his seat so he could sit there and be with them. And they all sat around the table. And then Shui Huang said, okay, I got a feast for us because we got a special friend from outer space. And she looked at Igglypop, and then she put everything out on the table. She had fried some chicken. She had mashed potatoes. She had green beans. She had broccoli. She'd made a little salad. She had some French bread she put up. And she had glasses of wine for her and Clem. And she had big glasses of milk for each of the kids. And they all said, oh, yummy, this is going to be a great dinner. And then Shui Huang said, well, all right, but we have to say grace first. You know how we do it. And they all held hands, and they started singing their grace. Because it is a custom in Clem Goodlight's house that when you sit for a meal as a family, you all be grateful that you have food, that you're together, and that there's some things that are larger than you, and you have to be grateful. So they all sang their little song. Oh, the one is good to us. For this we thank the one. Well, Igglypop was like, what's this? What's going on? They're singing. They're singing. And they finished. And they all dropped their hands. And they said, thanks for food, Mom. And they dug in. Well, then Shui Huang looked at Igglypop. And he said, well, Igglypop, welcome to our human household. And we're going to give you dinner. What would you like? Well, Igglypop didn't know quite what to say because he'd never eaten any of this food, and he'd actually never sat down for a family meal because his father, as the chief ruling officer of Janaka Palala, and his mother, who is one of the chief counselors to the chief ruling officer, very, very rarely had dinner with him. They were all too busy having meals with other important politicians and people. So he generally ate alone with his maids, and they all just, you know, said, here's your food. Sit down, Igglypop. and they give them a big bowl of stew or soup or because that's what they ate on Tenakapalala with their tentacle hair. So Igglypop looked at the food and said, "Woo woo woo woo," and his communicabobulator said, "Well, I'd like to try some of that," and he pointed at the chicken. So Shui Huang took a big chicken breast and he opened up his dissolver pouch and she put it in. And he sat there for a little bit, and he took his wriggly antenna, tentacle, and he stuck it in his dissolver pouch, and that tastes good. That tastes good. So then he tried some mashed potato. Ooh, that tasted good. Then he tried some broccoli and green beans, and oh, I like that. I like that. And then Shui Huang and Dr. Gluggudlight looked at him and said, "Well, would you like to have a glass of wine with us?" So they poured a glass of wine. And he took his wriggly tentacle hair and he stuck it in the wine and he took a sip. Well, on Janakapalala, they don't have wine. That's not what they drink. And he was quite unprepared for the fact that he was going to be hit with alcohol. Well, alcohol does strange things to people. Better not to have it at all because it's not good. But Clem and his wife always like to have a glass at dinner. But Igglypop, all of a sudden, had his brain go off. Woo-woo! And he got kind of goofy, and he started talking, and his communicabobulator worked really hard to try to keep up to him, and he started talking all about growing up. "Oh, I grew up in Janakapalala. Nothing like this is in Janakapalala. We never have dinner like this. This is great." And then Dr. Goodlight looked at him and said, "Well, Igglypop, tell us a little bit about Janakapalala." So Igglypop said, "Oh," because he was kind of loopy at this point, and he'd only had a little sip of that wine. Oh my goodness. So he started talking and talking, talked all about Janakapalala. He said, explained that it was just one big city on the whole planet, and there really weren't any open spaces, and they didn't have mountains per se. And he grew up in this big, huge building, huge, 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 huge building. And the only time he got outside was when he went into some of the parks, because they had parks, and they had flowers and little trees and things like that, but it was all very cultivated. And he never, ever, ever had been in a big open vehicle driving through all this open land and looking at all these strange alien creatures running around on four legs and trying to eat each other. Ah, and he started talking and talking, and he went on and on and on and on and on. And that was quite entertaining for the whole family. And his poor communicabobulator was having really a hard time keeping up. So sometimes it said things really strangely, and all the kids would giggle. Little Buster would go, "Woo!" And Clem Goodlight and his wife were very, very polite, and they listened. And then Clem said, "Well, would you like to know about us?" And Igglypop, at this time, had started drinking a lot of water, agua, because agua was what they drank at Janakapalala, and that's much better for people. He didn't try the milk. He didn't know what milk was. So he drank a lot of water, and that sort of helped him out, calmed him down. He said, "I'd love to." So they started talking about themselves. And Shui Huang started telling him how her great-grandparents had come from an old country called China way back a long, long time ago when people were dying of famine and there was all these upheavals. And they came back and they came in to what is now Calizona. And they went to school together and that's where they met. They met at the university. And she was taking music. She was getting a PhD in music. And he was getting a PhD in astrophysics. And they met each other. They fell in love and they got married. And Igglypop really, this was hard for him. Fell in love, married, and then he got his job at Washamaukumption University, and they moved up here and started their family. And there they had Ming Li and Ling Mi were both blushing, and then little Clem was like laughing. And then little Buster, of course, at that point, was getting kind of tired and sleepy and cranky. And then Shui Huang said, "Well, you know, tomorrow's going to be a big day. You kids better get in and take your tubs and get ready for bed because you're going to have school tomorrow. That's what start of school, and you're going to have to go. And little Buster, you are going to be off to your daycare because I have work to do. And your father has to go back to the university to start classes. And Igglypop, I hope you don't mind, but you're probably going to have to stay here." And then Clem Goodlight said, "Well, here's the thing. We really can't have Igglypop walking around the neighborhood, can we? Because after all, he's kind of big and people would notice him. And it's kind of hard to disguise the fact that he's a space alien. So here's what we need to do. I think we need to just keep him home. And how about if we order some clothes?" So Shui Huang said, "Well, I think we could order some clothes. I think we should. Because after all, Iglipop, the crown prince of Janakapalala, was wearing his space cruiser clothes. And his space cruiser clothes were made for sitting in a spaceship and maneuvering, right? They fit, they were on him, but there was nothing resplendent, nothing that said, I am the crown prince of Janakapalala. He could be anybody. And I wasn't used to that. So Clem said, well, I think what we ought to do is we ought to go onto the Everywhere Net and we ought to just order some clothes made for him. And Shui Huang said, well, I think we can do that. You know, there's some good 3D printer outfitters. We could just order his sizes and they'll have them ready for tomorrow and drop them off by drone. And Clem Goodlight said, well, that's a good idea. So they did a couple measurements, looked at his arms, looked at his body, oh, he's tall, and they ordered some shirts, and they ordered some pants, and they ordered a pair of shoes for him and a pair of sandals so he'd be comfortable. And they said, then Clem said, and he needs a big hat. Let's get him a big Stetson. So they bought him a Stetson. That was the biggest Stetson they could find for the biggest, fattest head they could, because Clem figured that's the only place you can put your hair tentacles. And they ordered that, and then by that time it was late, and everybody said goodnight. And Iglipop went off to bed, and he fell asleep right away because he was so tired. And he fell all night, and he slept all night. Well, the next morning, everybody was out the door. Clem Goodlight went out the door. Shui Huang went out the door. The kids went out the door. Buster went out the door, and the house was quiet. Oh, Iglipop walked around. He said, here I am. Who would ever think? I'm in a human family. I'm in a human house. Oh. And he started looking at things, because after all, he was being very polite. He hadn't examined. And he walked around, and he looked at the big TV monitor screen that they had. It was 100 inches wide, and it was big, and it looked like one of the monitor screens that they had in Janakapalala. But he had no idea how to turn it on. He looked around, and he found a little sticky poo. Well, what's this sticky poo? It had little buttons on it. He said, I wonder what this does. So he started punching the buttons on the little sticky poo, and all of a sudden, the screen monitor came awake. Boing! And there was the morning news. Well, today in the world, we have some crises that we have to deal with. And it started talking. The man was talking. And Iglipop looked at him. And his communicabobulator was working real hard to try to take this in. And then he said, well, what does this button do? And he pressed another button. And boom, the screen changed. And somebody else came on. Only was someone singing a song. Hello, I love you, baby. Oh, hello. Well, he could get into that. He liked, this is interesting. So he found a chair, a big one. He sat down. And he watched YouTubes, and there was old reruns of MTV. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know this existed. And then he watched some other shows. He watched some Spanish soap operas because they were like, rah, 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 rah. He spent a couple hours just doing nothing but watching TV. All the while, his communicabobulator was paying attention and recording, so that by the time the kids came home, well, he was doing very well with English. As a matter of fact, he could even get some Spanish in. That was pretty good. Ha ha, he thought he was good. And he knew some songs. He could sing some songs. Oh, baby, 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 baby. But the way he sang it was like, oh, because his nose mouth wasn't really a lips like humans have. So the kids came in the house and they said, Iglipop, Iglipop. And they all jumped all over him. Well, Iglipop was like, what? They were having so much fun with him. They were saying, hi, hey, you're home. We came home to see you. And then Ming Li and Ling Mi decided, you know what we need to do? We need to braid his hair. That would be really cool. So they both fell to behind him, and they started braiding his hair. Well, this was a new experience for Iglipop. Whoever braids your tentacles, but he said, oh, I got to be polite. I'll let them do it. So they braided his hair. They each had a braid going down each side. And he had two looked like braids coming down the side of his head and fell all the way to his shoulders. Oh, they were giggling and laughing. And they pulled out their smartphones and took pictures of him. Oh, Iglipop, you're so cool. They took some pictures of him with braids. Then Iglipop said, I don't know if this feels right. So he wriggled his tentacles and unbraided the braids. And the two girls went, what? What? How did you do that? How did you do that? So they grabbed his tentacles and they braided his hair again. There, you won't get out of this one. And he said, oh, this must be a game. So then he thought, and he slowly wriggled one tentacle and then wriggled another, and it unraveled the braids and he came out again. The girls couldn't believe it. Oh, my goodness. Well, at that point, Clem Jr. came out with a huge, huge, huge Lego Bego set. And Lego Bego, now, years and years before this, before the upheavals, before anything, Lego was a big thing. But then they invented Lego Bego. And Lego Bego was even better than Lego because Lego was just little blocks of plastic you put together. Whereas Lego Bego had little pieces that sort of had embedded semi-robots, right? And so the little robots would do what you wanted to do, and they'd assemble themselves if you programmed it right. And then they'd make things and structures, and you could make trains and moves and sometimes planes. And so little Clem brought out his Lego Bego box and said, Hey, Igglypop, you want to play Legos with me? Igglypop had never seen Lego Begos. But he was a trained electromechanical engineer. And he also had a PhD, well, what you'd call a PhD, in the neuroscience of robotics. And he also, well, we won't tell you all the things he'd done, but he had gone to school for every single minute he was alive until he was 87, which is about 18 in human years. And he was on his first vacation, he was on his first time away from home, and here he was being shown these little squid-like blocks. Oh, well. So he picked one up, and so little Clem showed him how to put them together. Look, let's make a moving torus. And so he put together a moving torus. Well, you know what a torus is? Well, Google it, William. You'll figure it out. And he made a moving torus, and it started rolling around the room. Rolled, rolled. Oh, Igglypop was like, oh. So he got down off the chair and sat on the floor. And the movie, the TV was still on. They were still singing in the background. Oh, baby, 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 baby. But nobody was paying attention to the songs because everybody was playing with Igglypop. The girls were braiding his hair, and then his hair would unbraid again and again. They were giggling and laughing. Oh, they couldn't believe it. What is this? And then he was playing, and he was making things. He decided, I think I'll make a space cruiser. So he took some of the Lego Bego blocklings, and he decided putting them together. And he started to realize how they worked. Oh, this attaches that, that attaches that. Okay, da, do, do. And he put it together, and then he let it go. And you know what the space cruiser did? It tried to fly, but it couldn't fly because it didn't have an ion motor, and it didn't have a gravitational pull motor to pull it up towards the greatest gravitational pull, and it didn't have any servo robots inside which would give instructions to the engine. All it did was wanted to, because that's the way that he made it. He thought, we have to work on this. How can I do this? And he looked around and said, what can I use as an ion motor? Well, there wasn't much he could think of. I mean, what could I use as an ion motor? So he started giving it some thought. And he was sitting there thinking and thinking and thinking. When in came Shui Huang. And she came in with Buster. Buster said, ah, Google Gaga, Google Gaga. And he ran right over to Igglypop and started playing with his mouth nose. Oh, and started hugging him and playing with his communicabulator. And Igglypop forgot all about trying to get his space cruiser to fly because he had this little kid climbing all over him. And you know what? You know what? It was kind of fun because all these little kids were touching him and playing with him and being close to him. And he had never, ever had that before. Nobody had ever really played with him. It was always, yes, master, young master, we'll do anything you want. But he never had a family. And he realized, this is what they mean when they say family. Well, then, Dr. Goodlight came home, and his face was down. He looked glum. He took his hat, and he threw it down. And Mrs. Goodlight looked at him, and she said, Clem, what's the matter? You look really, really down. And Clem looked at her. He said, oh, yeah. This has not been a good day. Well, what happened? Well, I got to the office, and I got to my office, and I was starting to work on my classes. And you know, we had the seminar this afternoon I was supposed to give on astrophysics and the knowledge of the universe, and I got a call.
You got a call?
Yes, and it was several officials from the United Peoples.
Oh,
the United Peoples, the dread United Peoples. Well, the United Peoples conglomerate was the huge section of the whole eastern part of the continent that still held together after the upheavals. But the whole western side had broken off, if you remember. Under the upheavals, Calizona had broken off, and then the greater northwest had broken off, Cascadia, they called it, and that's where Washamaugumption University was. So they were what they call autonomous territories. They were all part of the United Peoples, sort of, supposed to be, but they were very, very insular, and United Peoples were very careful in what they told Cascadian people, because Cascadia didn't like that. But anyway, So we called United Peoples. What? What? And United Peoples said, Dr. Goodlight? Yes? We understand that you are at such and such a park in Wyoming on such and such a day, and there was a big comet or something that came down. We tracked it coming in, and such and such, we think it landed near you. And then we got a report from the park ranger that when he saw you, there was a strange vehicle next to your tent. Clem said, well, yes, it was an experimental RV that a friend of mine had dropped off. Well, do you remember the friend? Well, Clem was now caught in a corner because Clem's a very honest guy. If you ask Clem Goodlight a question, Clem Goodlight will give you an honest answer because that's how he's constructed. If he says he'll do something, he will do it. That's how he's constructed, and it's a good way to be constructed. But at this point, he said, oh, no. Oh, no. This is really terrible. I have to protect Igglypop. They can't find that Igglypop's here. They can't get a space cruiser. If they will, we'll lose it. He'll be lost. He won't be able to get home. So he decided to tell a fib. Oh, I think we've been through this before, young William. You tell a fib and bad things happen because other things happen you don't expect. And then it doesn't go good from there. But he decided to tell a fib. And he said, well, it wasn't really a friend of mine. It was just I got a call that there was this strange RV, and could I watch it for a little bit while they had to go someplace? And I never met them. They just dropped it off while I was asleep. Oh, and what happened to it? Well, I think it was picked up by a truck. Do you remember the truck? Do you remember who picked it up? He said, no. I was breaking camp, and some guy pulled up with a truck and put it on and drove off. And I was busy setting my camp up because I had to go home. Oh, do you care if we come by your office to speak with you? This was the officials from United Peoples conglomerate. And he said, well, yeah, sure you can, but I have classes and I have seminars and I'm busy, so when do you want to come? They said, tomorrow. And Clem said, I think I can make some time. And he made an appointment. And then he said, I can't deal with this. He had a seminar. He talked about the future of astrophysics. But you know, he was thinking in the back of his head, the future of astrophysics, but astronomy, but astroastronomy physics, astrophysics astronomy. But I have a being in my home who knows more about astrophysics than anyone else in this whole world, because he comes from someplace that's not here. Oh, I should talk to him. I need to learn as much as I can. So he gave his seminar, but it wasn't really very good. And he had his PowerPoints, but they weren't really very good. And he shut down his office, and he drove home. And he came home, and he was so tired. And that's the story he told his family. And everybody said, oh, Dad, oh, Clem, you're in trouble. And Clem said, yeah, we got to figure this out. And just at that moment, the doorbell rang, because here was the drone dropping off all the clothes for Igglypop. And so they ran out and got the clothes and came back in. And then he had to put them on, and he had to show them off, and he had a checkered shirt, and he had blue jeans. Oh, he'd never worn blue jeans, but he had long blue jeans that had been made. And then he had a pair of khaki pants, and then he had a pair of shorts. And, of course, they had to be plaid shorts because nothing would do other than that. And then he had a couple of shirts, and they got some big Columbia-type shirts that would be huge and big. And then they had a hat. This Stetson was huge. Clem Goodlight tried to put it on, and you couldn't see him because it was so hat. It fell on his shoulders, but it just was right for Igglypop. And then everybody laughed and laughed. And Shui Huang said, okay, let's see what we have for dinner. And then tomorrow we'll take care of itself. And that's what they did. And they all went in and had dinner. And they had a great evening. And then they all went to bed. And the next day started a new story. So tomorrow I'll tell you the next story. And that'll be something that includes Dr. Goodlight a lot more, and what to do with the space cruiser, and how to get into the space cruiser, and how to get it working again. And that's where the fun begins. But I thought you'd like this story, William. Igglypop finds a family, because we all need a family. And it's the most important thing for humans. So I love you, little William. You hug your family. Hug your little sister, Lauren. Hug your mom and dada. Hug your grandparents, your granddad and your grandmom, and tell them you are so happy that you're part of their family. Love you, little William. I'll talk to you again.